I'm Nick. I'm a senior at Olin.
I'm Singin, another senior from Olin.
So we actually have two projects here for everyone today. One of them, we are looking for individuals who maybe we can pull out for 10 to 15 minute sessions and ask a couple of questions about a project for a portable Braille printing device.
And ours is more of a kind of loudspeaker thing where it's a web app, and we're hoping to get some feedback about the information that's presented and what is and isn't useful, so that can be done more in a kind of group setting.
So that one is not the Braille printer, but the other one?
Yeah, so this one is for kind of virtual navigation and seeing what kind of,
And is it based on that Clue app that was created last year?
Clue is more for indoor navigation. This one is for kind of scraping data from where we can and trying to see what data we can get in an outdoor area.
So it's about pre-planning and exploration of an area, drawing mental maps.
For the printer, I think we need about 3 people to start, and then we'd love it if we could pull people out kind of.
Can you give a little description on this
thing? We're taking an engineering class in which we were tasked with designing whatever we wanted. And our team decided that we wanted to create a Braille printing device that people could bring wherever and could be portable and fast. And we're in the process of making it right now. But we want to learn things about like our user interface and how big our Braille text should be so that we make sure that, and like what applications it might be useful in, so that way we make sure that we are building something that is actually useful to people as opposed to building something just for the sake of building it.
Yeah, I would volunteer for that.
I would volunteer.
Excellent, awesome. Excellent. Is anyone else? One more person maybe?
John, are you still using the standard embossing process with a pin on one side of the paper and a cup on the other side of the paper?
Yep.
So we're going to be demoing exploration in like a virtual environment and what
This is a web application called VIA that aims to help people in Boston area with blindness or visual impairments to explore Boston and learn more about new places. Mm-hmm. So it'll be used at home on a laptop or a desktop or potentially on your mobile devices to explore areas virtually before going there in person. We imagine our VR app would help users build a mental map of neighborhood, and the current main use is walking along streets and hearing audio description of your surroundings.
Yeah, basically what's in the area. So what I've done here is I've navigated to the website, and I'm going to start kind of tabbing through the elements on the website.
Via document. Skip to callouts link.
So
table.
Those are some quick things.
Where in Boston would you like to explore?
So that would be a search bar that is at the top of the website that you can start off searching wherever you want to go. I've started off by searching for Boston Commons and specifically the intersection between Boylston and Tremont Street. So I'm going to tab down to the controls and the callout box where the information is displayed.
Enter search button. Navigation landmark, continue along Boylston Street via Google Chrome, Nick.
So what first appears here is a bunch of buttons, the first which said advance right, which is kind of the thing that means continue along your current route.
Turn around along Boylston Street button.
There's other buttons such as one that describes like turning around on your current street that allows you to have control over your navigation.
Turn around along Boylston Street button. Switch to overview.
So one other key aspect is we have a couple different modes that kind of look at the scope of the information that's displayed to you. So for this one, we have 3 modes, one called overview, earshot, and touchpoint. Overview is kind of like general stuff about kind of the big area. Earshot is things that are a little bit closer, and touchpoint was meant to be things that are in touching distance. Information more about that. Today, we're gonna focus on earshot because we've been putting kind of the most effort into that, and we have a lot of good data there. So we're just trying to get feedback on the data in earshot and if that sounds helpful. So I'm going to navigate to the callout box.
Callout section, main landmark, earshot, heading level 1, turning to 6 o'clock, now facing Boylston Street. The street is to your left, now on Boylston Street. Heading level 2, bullet, this street has 3 lanes. Crosswalks, heading level 2, bullet, crosswalk for Boylston Street, Fort blank.
So you can see that it will read out basically a bunch of information about the area.
On crosswalks, did it say where the crosswalks are, like Boylston Hand?
Yeah, so I think this is saying what street you're crossing, so Cross Rock across Boylston Street. Let me let it go through. Sorry, I kind of cut it prematurely.
Clickable. Call out section main landmark earshot heading level 1 turning to 6 o'clock, now facing Boylston Street. The street is to your left, now on Boylston Street. Heading level 2 bullet. This street has 3 lanes. Crosswalks heading level 2 bullet crosswalk for Boylston Street 14 feet away directly ahead of you at 12 o'clock. No adjacent transit heading level 2 adjacent businesses heading level 2 bullet Dunkin' Donuts, fast food, 48 feet away directly to your right at 3 o'clock. Bullet Starbucks, coffee houses, 92 feet away slightly to your right at 1 o'clock.
So it also has adjacent
bullet
businesses,
Grand Lodge of Masons,
that are kind of
shop,
nearby.
194 feet away directly ahead of you at 12 o'clock. Bullet Sub 5 104 candy and confectionery stores, 74 feet away to your right at 2 o'clock.
You can skip
Bullet Emerson
stuff,
College shop,
I have not
149 feet away slightly to your left at 11 o'clock. Bullet Explorator, restaurants, and other eating places, 157 feet away slightly to your left at 11 o'clock.
So we'll also have construction.
Potential construction heading level 2 bullet construction reported 250 feet away directly ahead of you at 12 o'clock at 80. Boylston Street until November 21st, 2019, 12 a.m. Bullet construction reported 81 feet away to the right at 4 o'clock, at 80. Boylston Street until November 21st, 2019, 12 a.m. Potential obstacles heading level 2 bullet trash cans may be out on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. No local landmarks heading level 2.
That just kind of went through all the information that we were able to get about that area. As you may recall, there were like crosswalks, and it'll tell you any crosswalks that are nearby that should allow you to cross the street. There wasn't any adjacent transit in this area, but if there was, it would say something along the lines of for, you know, 120 feet away at your 12 o'clock entrance for like the blue line, or like bus stop for buses 12, 13, blah, blah, blah. And then also adjacent businesses. So that's just reading out some of the popular businesses in the area. Which I spent a lot of time on, as well as construction and obstacles, which may be like trash cans that could be in the street. And then finally, local landmarks. So for this one, it would include fire hydrants. So we actually have locations of fire hydrants in the Boston area, or trees, street lights, also trash cans. We can tell the distances to those trees based on the user's location as well. Basically, the feedback we're trying to get is, which of this information do people think would be helpful? What information that doesn't exist, regardless of how feasible it is, what information would be the most helpful kind of in this setting of you want to go to a place and want to know what's there is mostly what we're trying to get.
Features that haven't been implemented yet, but we are currently working on include telling whether a crosswalk has APS signal installed there, or things like whether a street has sidewalk, or directions from tactile markers to a crosswalk push button. Today we just want to get more feedback on whether we are getting the right verbosity for the content we are providing, and it would be really great if two or three people here can try out our app and actually navigate through the screen reader. So the computer we have right now has NVDA installed. We would have wanted to optimize this for mobile devices, but we are still in the process of optimizing for mobile devices. Mm-hmm. So if you want to try our app with NVDA, mm-hmm. or we could turn on the Windows narrator for it. We know it's not a popular choice, but we'll be very happy to get some feedback.
Everything that we want to find is somehow in relationship to a fixed object. Like David mm-hmm. said something about the crosswalk. And you always want to pick something that you know it's not going to move. The crosswalk's not going to move. And say, we're trying to find Starbucks. So we say that's the third door to the right of the crosswalk, that
awesome.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
So you always kind of like keep that kind of orientation based on one particular fixed point, or you know.
When it first started talking, it wasn't real clear to me what side of the street you're on and where you're facing. If that could be clarified, one thing that sounds interesting here that we don't get really in GPS apps is you can be walking down the street, but you don't get a good idea of what's on which side of the street. And I heard yours was saying on the left, mm-hmm. on the right. So I'm assuming if it's on the right, it's actually on the sidewhat that I'm on, whereas mm-hmm. if it's on the left, it's over on the other side of the street. And we don't get that type of information from GPS apps.
Right? Ah, cool.
What's on what side of the street.
So yes.
It sounds like you might have that, and that would actually be a useful thing you don't find
That's really good, yeah. Yeah, we should probably state more explicitly, because it would end up being, like, right means right side of the street on the sidewalk you're on, and left would mean the other side. So we can put that more explicitly.
Yeah, say, for instance, like, you could say it's on the right-hand side of the street. Well, that doesn't really mean anything unless you have a point of reference. You could say something like, it's on the right-hand side of the street if Starbucks is at your back, or something like that. Yeah?
I mean, the logic I think I understood there was, at the very beginning, but the robots, it could be clear. At the very beginning, I thought I heard it say that the street is on your left.
Yeah.
So if that's,
yeah, it does.
Logically, if that's the case, then anything on the right is on your side of the street.
Yep.
But you could say that more clearly.
Yes. Yep.
Your side of the street, other side of the street, whatever.
Yes, like with the street on your left, Starbucks is on your right. That's on this side of the street, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But always with a point of reference, yeah.
Point of reference, yeah.
Can I just ask, how easy is it to download the data? I mean, because... Mm-hmm. If this was like a really easy thing to do, then that would be really nice. But if it's like, if it's a major chore for you to get like 3 blocks of Tremont Street, then that sort of limits the effectiveness of it.
Downloading the data isn't too hard. Right now, we're just requesting it from a server, and we can just request pretty much anywhere in Boston. A lot of this data is kind of Boston central because Boston has done a really good job of categorizing a lot of kind of local data. But yeah, we could download a lot of this locally. Do you mean like download it for the user?
You can get the data very easily. It's not like you have to like go in and customize it a lot or anything like that.
Yeah, we can. We can get the data really easily, as long as it's in Boston.
That's interesting to hear about the construction though, because that's another thing that is hard to know anything about. That's accurate, you know, it's actually reliable.
Yeah. So the construction data is coming from the city of Boston, and we observed that the data gets updated at a weekly cadence.
Yeah, sometimes more than weekly. So yeah. Pretty
that's
reliable.
That would be new and different.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I have a question, mm-hmm. Kevin. GPS apps in Boston, where there's a lot of buildings, a lot of interference, are not always real reliable.
Mm-hmm.
They have trouble finding exactly where you are, orienting you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand how your app is functioning differently from that.
Yes.
It has to have, it's getting live data, right? So you have to have a good internet, but it's not using GPS, right? It's using data about your location that's sort of static, it's sitting up there.
The way to kind of think about this is it's kind of like using Google Maps on your computer, right? It's not like on your phone where it's constantly trying to ping your current location. So what this is you search for a place and it will kind of plop you down in that place and describe the place. And you can move where you are in that place. It's meant to be used kind of ahead of time at home in its current form.
For planning.
Yes. Yes.
You're not walking down the street.
We're currently exploring kind of ideas of perhaps maybe saving some data that you get from this so that it's easy to bring up later. So like if you need to remember how to get to, say, the Starbucks or something, like being able to be like, ah, yes, it was near the street light, and that kind of stuff is something we're exploring. But the kind of main purpose right now is to do it ahead of time for planning purposes.
I realize that you're exploring an area, but if you wanted to explore from point A to point B, are you able to put that in so it will... Is that how you do it to get the particular area? Because if you don't know the area, you're not sure what the streets mean. But if you know you want to try and get to the Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, starting at Park Street Station, and then learn the information with your app along that path.
It doesn't currently do that. That is one other area that we're trying to explore the utility of. And if people like would really want navigation in this space, or if like... in the end, they would just, you know, go to, like, Google Maps or whatever.
It would be nice if you could say, I've come to Boston and I want to learn how to get from Park Street Station to the Wilbur Theater and then find out all the stuff that's along the way. That would be very useful. But you're right. I could go to Google Maps or something and plot that out. But it'd be nice if it was sort of integrated. Maybe that's too ambitious. I don't know. But that would be very useful.
That's incredibly useful feedback, because a big part of what this project is trying to figure out the opportunities and what of this data is useful. So we are going to report out to Microsoft to talk about like our findings and hopefully to for some future integrations with other apps.
Can you search for the nearest item, like there's Dunkin' Donuts, like the McDonald's or whatever?
No, not right now. It might work if you search like Dunkin' Donuts edit near Boston Common, but right now it's edit not. I haven't space tried that actually.
So right now we are just pulling five nearby businesses at a certain location.
I can't tell if that worked. I did search to like Dunkin' Donuts near Boston Common. It took me somewhere, but I...
Would it be a feature that you would like to see potentially?
See, there's a million different apps that can do that already.
So next month we're going to be back in our regular room downstairs, as far as I know. If not, there'll be a notice about that. So thank everyone for coming. Thank you for our presenters.